DestinationCulture.com. Dan Kansian, yeah. David Farini here. We're going to talk about Padova and the Ultras issue. Take us through, why are they boycotting the home games at the Uganeo?
So, basically, from the start of the season, Ultras Padova and a fan group called Appartenenza Bianco Scudato.
Which means belonging, the belonging.
Yeah, Bianco Scudato mean Padova's nickname, belonging.
Belonging to them, yeah.
Belonging to them. They have decided to boycott home games to take a stance against the club's decision to move to the Uganeo 30 years ago. So the Uganeo is a concrete structure which is, looks really incongruous.
I think you're being nice there. The Ultras might say something different. Did they use any different words
they
to describe
used,
it?
Yes, they used, yes. I think they described it as a monstrosity. they described it as, they told me actually that they feel, they've been feeling like unwanted guests in their own home for the past 30 years.
Well, that's not good. You need your supporters to
you
want
do.
To be there. And of course, their name, the belonging, they don't feel like they are a part of it.
They do.
The
they do not. And the problem is the club, according to them, has not engaged with them to find any solution for this. So basically, they feel like they've been left behind by their own club. The club has an approach of telling them, we are a company, you are the customer. But the Ultras I spoke to told me if a company loses its customers, then has to take steps towards winning them back. And it doesn't. They don't feel like this has been done.
And so the last resort, is this their last resort? Or
It very much feels like a last roll of the dice. Obviously, you know, you don't need to be an Ultra to understand that it must be very difficult to choose not to attend team that you've been supporting all your life, because the people I spoke to, there were people in their 20s, but there were people in their 60s who've been supporting.
And they were there when the town had the side in Serie A back in the 90s.
Yes.
Thank you. And
yeah, they some of them had been gone, had been season ticket holders since the club was in Serie A when we were still playing at the old Stadio Appiani in the middle of town. And they just feel like, as I said, they've been left behind, that the club has decided to move them away from the city, away from the roots. And that the location of the stadium itself has had a very negative impact on the fan base, because it's so difficult to reach the Uganeo. The Uganeo you can't reach by public transport, or you can as long as you're prepared to walk for 20, 25 minutes afterwards. It's a 55 minutes walk from the middle of town, which I did on Sunday after the game.
You had to go through that. How much closer is the Appiani to
the Appiani
town?
Is, I will say, 5 minutes away from the old town.
Okay.
And it's 5 minutes away from the old town, and it's 10 minutes away from one of the most visited tourist sites in Padua. Padova Ultras told me that the reason why the move has been so detrimental is because the stadium doesn't feel part of the city, therefore the club no longer feels part of the city. People can't just go on a whim to the ground. They need to plan the trip there in a car, and that has had a negative impact on the younger fans.
So just to get there, it's carpooling.
Yeah, and when I was there on Sunday, I interviewed the Ultras in a car park, and they do what Americans call tailgating, which is driving to the stadium, parking their car in the car park, opening their boot, and setting out, you know, picnic tables and bringing their own drinks and their own food, because there is no drink. There is no kind of facilities of any kind.
There's no vending machines.
There is nothing. There is a little clubhouse the Ultras have built for themselves and have paid for themselves.
So it's a sad state of affairs.
Yeah.
For these supporters, not just the Ultras, who we all know they're the diehard fans,
yeah.
But also just general families. They have to literally pack their own lunch.
They
get
do.
A backpack.
No, they do. They do. The fans I spoke to told me that the reason why they built the structure to start with was because there was not way for female fans to use facilities if they needed. There were no toilets outside the ground, so they needed something for female fans in particular and in kids to
sure.
use the facilities. And then this developed into something slightly bigger, I wouldn't call it a pub, but it has a feeling of a pub. It's got beer taps, and it's got two slushy machines.
And which, how far is that away from the stadium itself?
Oh, it's 500 meters away. It literally is on an access road to the stadium.
And this is where the ultras go on the home match days.
Yeah. There is a big screen outside. They congregate there. They sing their songs. There's flares going off. There's drinks.
So at least they've got drinks and food.
Yeah. There's drinks being drunk. They've got like a barbecue and where they do their own. They prepare their own food and they watch the games there on a big screen. I do believe that for some of the home games, they even have their own commentary. They get a stream. And they have one of the fans doing the live commentary on site.
So it's commentary-oki to a degree?
To a degree, yes. I think.
But I'm sure that they're quite skilled. The waxing and lyrical there in the Ultras clubhouse. So you were taken into that area?
Yeah.
And you were welcomed in by the Ultras?
I was.
You're an insider there. Nowhere else is getting this. It's a destination culture.
Yeah,
destination part of Ultras with Dan.
I was very much welcomed in. They offered me beers, they offered me food, which I politely declined because I had already had a rather large breakfast in the middle of Padua. But that's a story for another time.
Okay, maybe you can talk us through that on the Calcio Weekender through Panama.
I will do. I can't give all the secrets away now, I'm sorry.
Go and check out all the other ones. Yeah. I should mention Calcio Weekender Bologna just came out today. We've got all the other towns we've been to already.
So it's this clubhouse is decked in white and red, Padua colours. There's murals, there's graffiti. It just feels like something for the fans, by the fans, which is exactly what it is.
Okay, the big question here, Dan, is if you were a neutral, which you are, walking in there and you had before you the two options to go and watch the game in the stadium or watch it with the Ultras in their clubhouse arrangement, what would you do?
I'll choose the clubhouse arrangement any day of the week.
And that is a message, if you're listening out there, part of a culture, you might have to take that opinion in.
Yeah.
If people are coming there from another town, then, or another country, and they're opting not to go to a stadium, especially, I mean, the message is there.
Yeah.
Obviously, the locals are boycotting.
It's interesting because one of the things I asked the Padua fans I spoke to was what the reception from the fan base had been like, because we all know how tribal people get. So I thought maybe their stance has been mocked or they've been ridiculed. But it's quite the opposite. Ultras and actual just normal fans of other clubs have praised the stance because they themselves hate going to the Ugarnio because it's a terrible experience, even if it's an away fan. Away fans are housed in this end which is exposed to the elements.
And it looks a fair distance away from the pitch.
It's about 70-80 meters away from the pitch. It's exposed to the elements. Again, there are no facilities of any kind for them.
And lucky it was sunny on Sunday.
That was going to be my other point, because of all the places in Italy to ever stand exposed to the elements, Veneto doesn't strike me as the ideal place to not have a roof over your head. It was an incredible experience to be there with them. I ran into 5 Leeds fans as well.
Leeds fans on tour in Padova, where else? Sister club maybe? No?
I don't know. I saw a couple of stickers where they had both clubs had, well, rather, the fans of both clubs had stuck stickers there. So there's definitely some sort of relationship of some kind.
So do you think there's a chance of a Google search for Leeds supporters Calcio Weekender in Padova? We've got more coming on that because you're going to write a piece.
I am.
And we're going to elaborate on the topic. It seems to be pretty bad at the moment for the Padova Ultras. We sympathise with you.
Yeah, no, it's really bad for them. And it's not just the Ultras, as I said. It's just even like average fans who've been going for a long time. It just feels very modern football, like the moment when a club tells them that they are customers.
It's that disconnect, isn't it? And that's what Danny was saying, the Atalanta fan from Hull.
Yeah.
Our video's out on the YouTube channel as well. He's saying that he's left English football. He's still there. He still watches his team, Chelsea. But he said he would rather sit in the away section with the Atalanta supporters at Stamford Bridge than in the home section with Chelsea. So that is a massive statement to make.
Yeah, no, it is. He felt... Those feelings felt very much there with the power of the fans as well.
So there's the disconnect issue.
Yeah.
There's the income issue for the club as well, because they're not going to have that extra revenue.
Correct.
Coming, because how many seats are they losing potentially?
They're losing, I would say, about 2,000 seats.
And instead, whoever runs that clubhouse is raking it in.
Yeah, well, the thing is that they are not actually losing any money, though, because the thing that the fans still... Some of them bought season tickets anyway, and they're just choosing not to go, whereas others have given up their season tickets. So you will have to sort of look at, you know, at the exact figures there. But there is definitely also income for the club.
And so by creating this issue for the club itself, whenever people watch part of a home games, they're going to see they've got no home support in the ultra section, yeah, in that kurva, and therefore it really shines the torch on.
Yeah.
And it is,
it's a visual, it's a visual protest, and that's why I was told that they chose this kind of protest, because it's, even though obviously Serie C has limited exposure on TV, it's the easiest way to show that there's something wrong, because something that should be there, that has been there for, you know, 50, 60, 70 years, is no longer there. That's, as you said earlier, it's the last roll of the dice for them. They needed something, they need to make a statement. They have done so, but they feel that there is no support from the club, nor from the authorities either, in terms of the city council. It's a sad situation.
Is it a case of the buck has to stop somewhere? Someone hasn't spent the funds to make the stadium more acceptable for fans, better facilities, bit of everything?
Well, with Ugan, you know, I think it's one of the stadiums that felt cursed from the moment it started. Construction started in 89 and it wasn't completed until 94.
Considering the look of it is just a few concrete structures.
Yeah.
That's slow, even by Italian standards.
It is. I mean, there are some eyesores across culture, but this has to be one of the worst. And the ironic thing is that I was told that the club and the fans and even the players agreed that Padua needed a new stadium in the late 80s. But no one thought that this would be the stadium that they'll be moving to.
Sometimes you're better off with what you've got.
Yeah.
I think we're going to look out for your piece coming out. We will link that into the show notes once it is.
Yeah.
And we're going to see how this situation evolves through this season. And maybe, just maybe, you might be part of an Ultras away game somewhere, because they are still attending away games.
They are. They're taking big, big numbers away from home, yeah.
I'll have to send you in, bit of a face paint and whatever else that they need you
they
to do.
They know me now, though. So
do you have to get a little, you know, some kind of initiation, a little bit of blood brother behaviour?
I am terrible when it comes to needles and blood, so I sincerely hope not. But
okay, we'll see if the ultras can let you
maybe
off.
Maybe I could just do something like...
A big tattoo across the face. Dan has pledged the big tattoo across the face, yeah, to the part of the locals.
I was going to say maybe I can learn the local dialect.
We're going to see how this plays out, Dan.
Yeah.
But we thank you for going in there. It's an exclusive. No one else is finding this information out. It is an issue that I didn't even know about, didn't think of. So well done to you for digging around and digging your way through to the Ugania on the weekend.
Indeed.
More on destinationculture.com, including Dan's Padova Ultras piece. So stick with us. Thanks, Dan.
No worries.